Hi, I'm Wendy Francis, nutrition therapist, emotional eating expert, and entrepreneur. I've helped countless people overcome their obsession with food and weight. Isn't it time you overcame what you had become and ignite who you were meant to be? Your time to become an overcomer starts now.
Welcome to the Overcoming Emotional Overeating podcast. On today's episode, I'll be answering questions from callers that I do on a weekly pre-recorded call. This question and answer session is about the self-sabotage cycle and how it's actually connected to your emotions. Take a listen. Enjoy.
Part of this self-sabotage cycle can really lead into the emotional eating realm. And I didn't necessarily talk about it head on when I did the emotional eating series. That can definitively be a part of emotional eating for anybody out there that struggles with that overeating piece. When you feel badly about yourself and you start to move into that place of feeling uncomfortable with success, right? Lots of people say, you know, how much they want success and where do they want to go with success. But the truth is, you know, success can be difficult because what it can do sometimes is rear up these self-sabotage cycles. Because as you succeed, you know, if you're succeeding in your plan, if you're eating on point, you're eating on the plan, and you're doing really great with that, so that little voice that sneaks in and says, have that cookie or, you know, eat that piece of cake, looks for whether or not that's a saboteur. You know, is that the part of you that's afraid to really own that success? Or is it physiological? You know, as we spoke about in the past, is it fact, the past? Is it physiological or is it psychological? You know, is it that saboteur jumping in? So that can definitively be a part of emotional overeating. And so kind of double checking that and where does that go with, you know, with respect to that, and knowing that there's ways out of the self-sabotage cycle. There really is ways to change it, but it's definitively hitting it through this unconscious realm versus the conscious.
So if you know that you are sabotaging yourself,
yeah,
I heard all of the other parts of the steps, the listening to recordings that sort of self-help while you're sleeping and so forth, but What should I do to help me get out of this rut that I'm in while I'm awake? What are some of the first steps? I've tried to start over doing like the shakes for a week, You know, like starting the program all over again to cleanse myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't make it through the week Because I now have that sugar in my system.
Okay. So is it a self-sabotage cycle or a physiological cycle?
Probably both.
Okay, so I would want to, and it could be, because it is for a lot of people. So I would want to separate those two parts out to see, okay, what's the physiological cycle going on? You know, are you getting really hungry? Are you not eating enough? Or, you know, what's the physiological piece? And then how does the self-sabotage begin? So if we look at self-sabotage as a cycle too, does it start with voices? Does it start internal voices? You know, normal language, right? Right? Does it start with voices?
Right.
Does it start with procrastination? Does it start with, and procrastination can be, oh, I'll start back on the plan tomorrow. I mean, that's classic.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
You know, I call that kind of classic dieting mentality because I do feel like people that have dieted for a long time have that mentality, and it's a procrastination-based mentality which can set up the self-sabotage cycle because it's about, right, I'll start when. It's the if-only mentality. You know, if I do good today, then I'll do this tomorrow.
Right.
So to break that pattern, what you need to do is do everything right now. Begin to teach yourself that there isn't an if-only mentality, that the only if-only is right now. And so okay. What that means is, you know, let's just say you fall off plan a little bit. It's not about I'll start the plan again tomorrow. It's about I'll start the plan again next meal. I'll restart today.
Okay.
Right, because what happens a lot of times, once you fall off, the shame that takes place for a lot of people, and I don't know if the shame cycle is there for you or not, but the shame that takes place, yeah. So when you get then, when you then push it off, so let's just say I'll start the plan again tomorrow, I'll start the plan again next week, there's shame in that whole entire time, which does not do anything for the self-sabotage cycle. In fact, it makes it worse because people feel worse about themselves.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't share this, but I feel like I need the help, so I need to share. I have lost 65 pounds, and now I've been so off the wagon that I am up 20 pounds. That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
So I need, you know, and I want to get back on plan, and I keep trying. And like I said, I've tried probably 3 times, and every time I try, I can't make it through the day without wanting something sweet.
Mm.
And so, of course, I give in to it.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. So is it, when you start back, so to speak, do you wind up, like, under-eating that day?
Well, I'm trying to start over by doing, like, the shake for breakfast and the shake for lunch and then eating a sensible, you know, dinner. So I get an apple in between, you know, my breakfast and my lunch, and I do the 6 almonds, and I do good. Mm-hmm. But I do, and I've noticed that when I'm on the way home is when it hits me. So I've started bringing an apple with me on the way home. And then by the time I get home and cook dinner, I'm starving. So, of course, I overeat.
Right.
I overeat, or either I'm eating something sweet while I'm cooking.
Yeah. Okay. So, first of all, you have a great handle on the pattern, right, which I want to commend you for. And that's the first thing you always want to do. Whenever anybody, if you're ever caught in a cycle, get a handle and an idea of the pattern. So what I might tell you to try, because what we want to see is if it's a physiological sabotage or the psychological sabotage or a combination of both. What happens if you go back on, let's just say, the full plan, so to speak, like where you're eating breakfast and lunch and dinner?
I haven't tried that because
So here's what I tell you. I would try that because what I want to see is if you go back to that, right, we know you'll lose weight because you've lost weight before in doing the full plan, right? So if you go back to that, does it allow you to eat more often through the day so that by the time you hit dinner, you're not that hungry and overeat? Because then that would tell me that that's a physiological self-sabotage where, man, I just got too hungry. If you do that, you eat kind of the full plan, so to speak, like, you know, after day 10, right? If you do that and you're able to stay on that, you will lose weight. Don't think you have to go back. Sometimes we have people go back to that shake phase because we really feel like there was a component to the cleanse that their body needed more of. But if you're snapping back into that pattern, that may tell me that your body's too hungry to stay there. So I'd rather have you eat on plan, that, you know, day 10 to day 40, so to speak, that facet of the plan or second phase, you know, third phase. Now, if in fact you do that and you eat those 3 meals and the snack a day and you're still self-sabotaging, then we know it's a success cycle, a self-sabotage cycle piece.
Okay. All right.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. The only thing that concerns me is that I've gotten the taste of sugar in my system now, and that's what I crave more than anything, is sugar and bread. Sugar and bread is like, oh, my goodness, if I could get some sugar, if I could get some bread, I'm in heaven. So I need, how do I get rid of that?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I was starting over with the shakes, because I figured that would get rid of the sugar and the bread.
Right, and it can for some people, but if you're caught in that cycle, I don't have people keep doing the same thing over and over again because you're just going to get the same results. I mean, that's saying it's so true, right? Right. So if you try that and it's not working, I want you to try something different and see if you get different results. Make sure when you're eating those three meals that you're getting those essential fatty acids in so you get the satiety as well. Because from a physiological standpoint, if you're under eating the fat content of meals, it can, you know, it decreases your satiety, which can sometimes increase those cravings. And make sure you're getting enough fiber, another important component to sugar cravings. A lot of times we'll find that people will kind of go into maintenance and all of a sudden they're not eating any fruits or vegetables. And then they wonder why their sugar cravings increase. Well, you just dumped a bunch of fiber out of your diet. And fiber really helps with sugar cravings and satiety. So make sure you're getting, you know, even put a checklist up that I got my, you know, two vegetable servings at my meals. I got my, you know, 1 to 2 fruit servings. Make sure you're getting those. Focus on getting more of those.
And that's exactly what I have been doing, is decreasing the veggies, you know. So, yeah, so that probably is what's going on.
Yep, so that's probably part of your self-sabotage. So that's a physiological sabotage cycle versus a psychological sabotage cycle.
Okay.
So that's what I would do first. Then what I tell you to do is track your pattern, right, as you're doing this. Make sure, you know, I even put it on your refrigerator, like, did I get my two veggies at, you know, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and put your check marks there. Did I get my, you know, 1 to 2 fruits, put your check marks there, whatever your plan is, you know, appropriate for you. And do that for a week or two, and if you're thriving on it, then it was a physiological sabotage. Now, if you start to see midweek or Thursday night or something that then you're craving sugar, well, then we can talk about, is there another pattern going on underneath this pattern?
Okay.
And so you can hop back on with me next week and follow up around that. I'm glad to do that. Okay. Yeah, because I always try and, so just for everyone out there, I always, and you can do this with yourself, if you're finding that something, you know, you're not able to be successful in any pattern change with food, I always look at the physiological part first. Could it be your under-eating? Could it be your under-eating fiber? Could it be your under-eating protein? Only because that's the easiest way to fix things, right? If you fix the physiological and the other stuff still going on, well, then I know it's a psychological or an emotional, right? Or a biochemical or a neuro, you know, a neurochemical, brain chemical piece. So I always go for kind of the easy grab first, please, and do that with yourself too, be your own best dietitian. Always go for that first, because if someone can fix that piece, so to speak, even if it's your 7 to 14 days and nothing else happens, well, then I know we fixed it. But if we fix that part, the physiological part, and other stuff still going on, well, then I can start to say, okay, all right, wait a minute, this is a self-sabotage pattern, or this is an emotional pattern, or this is a biochemical pattern, or this is a neurochemical pattern. This is a dopamine receptor thing. So then I can weave through that. But first and foremost, let's take the easy layer kind of off and then go from there.
Okay.
Great, great question. Thanks for hopping on to get help with that, because what you're speaking about is so not uncommon that I feel like it's just extremely beneficial to bring to the call. So thank you for doing that. It definitely will help a lot of people. And that's the great part about sharing, you know, I find. And you have anonymity on the calls, because even if I know your voice, I'm not going to say who you are. just more to protect, you know, the anonymity, and there isn't a face on the call, and, you know, so nobody knows who's calling in. So I definitely appreciate you bringing that to the table, because it happens to a lot of people. We get a lot of calls just like that, and, you know, it's always a great thing to work through. So thank you for bringing that on. And like I said, if you want to come back next week, the week after, as you're trying that, you know, again, look for those other self-sabotage patterns. If they're not creeping up or kicking up, then it was a physiological pattern.
Okay.
And if they are, then I'm glad to dive in and help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I haven't let it go so long that I'm just so frustrated that I can't, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, and here's what, so I always look at semantics, right, what people say. So in hoping that it hasn't gone on too long, what would you, like, what would you desire to feel like instead of possibly being frustrated? Like, how would you want to feel?
Like I have a handle on it, which I don't feel like I do.
Okay. Do you have a handle on the pattern?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of think that I do, and I think that, you know, I get all geared up thinking, okay, I have this down. I know I can do this. I did it before, and I try, and then I fail. So I get frustrated, and I eat. So I know the cycle that I'm going through. I just don't know how to break that cycle.
Right. So, one, we're going to hit it from the physiological perspective, but two, I hear that shame basis kind of creeping in a little bit. So, there's a few, what I tell you is you've got to hit your unconscious while you're making this change. Put some things around you that let you know, like, you're not supposed to be perfect at this. Practice is practice, right? Life is a journey, not a destination, right? And practice doesn't mean perfection. So, weight loss really is, I really believe, weight loss is a bigger journey than people give it credit for. And if you let your weight loss teach you, you will learn more about yourself than you ever knew was possible. This is where you get to learn. And that's exciting. Because if you learn what's stopping you in this realm, I guarantee you this same pattern is stopping you in other parts of your life. So if you figure out how to help this cycle, you'll know how to transfer that in other areas. So if it's about owning the success, right, what would it be like to really be successful in weight loss? To kind of be done with this journey, you know? Not done, but, right? If,
right.
Right? What would that be?
Yeah.
Feel like to have,
you know,
that part perfect. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've been here so long that maybe it's just a little scary for me.
Yeah, I get it. Change is scary. And being in the unfamiliar creates fear. So going back to how we feel is familiar. Right? If we feel bad about ourselves, even if we're used to worrying about our weight all the time,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you, weight worry should be an emotion. I mean, I've been in therapy so long, I really think that weight worry should be an emotion, like sadness or happiness, because it's true. I mean, I've heard it for forever. Like, I'm just, you know, I've asked clients forever, what percentage of the day do you think about food, weight, or eating? And if that is above 50%, that is a lot of time of your day you spend thinking about this stuff. What would it be like not to have to think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yeah, understanding that change can be scary, accepting success can bring up fear, and that's okay. And to, if you identify that, it doesn't mean so many people shy away from fear that they kind of go, ooh, I shouldn't think that. I shouldn't really be scared of my success because that doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, it totally does make sense because it's really rare to find people giving other people kudos for their success, except in our office. We're constantly giving people high fives. But, like, you know, and I just heard Becky jumping up and down with someone, like, going, like, you're rocking it, you know, and I'm like, oh, thank God, like, we're, like, the place that, to come if you want to. But, you know, there's lots of paradigms. There's lots of people out there that don't always give you kudos for your success. And that's why it's so important that you have to feel good about you in order to own that success. Because there's lots of other people out there that don't feel good about themselves, and then therefore they bring you down. So being afraid of that, being scared of the unfamiliar, is really okay. But knowing it, understanding it, and then putting some tools in place to help you bust through is important because that's what allows you to move to the next level. That's really what the weight loss journey is about. I think at its core, the weight loss journey is about learning to be successful and own your power, period. It is about empowerment. And so if you identify that fear that, you know, wow, maybe I am scared about the unfamiliar, got a great piece for yourself, because if you know that it's going to feel a little uncomfortable to succeed, you've nailed it. It's okay to feel uncomfortable and succeed. And it's okay to know that that's happening. And that's why getting your unconscious on board is so important. Because to the conscious mind goes, well, that doesn't make any sense. I've wanted to, you know, lose 65 pounds for the last 20 years. It doesn't make any sense that I would be, right? It doesn't make any sense. So that's what your conscious mind says. And your unconscious mind goes, oh, my God, it totally makes sense. I'm really scared. I don't know what it's going to be like. Will people look at me different? Will so-and-so say something? You know, whatever that is, right? The unconscious mind does not need to be logical. And that's why you've got to feed your unconscious mind good food so it starts to ignite with you. People that work in my office that see me day to day, my colleagues that have known me forever, they know all the time I am listening to passive good stuff. I mean, if I'm in my office and anybody ever walks by, I have my earphones in. If I'm working on my computer and I'm emailing people, I am constantly feeding my mind good stuff because I want my unconscious on board. I know how important it is. And that's why I wanted to do tonight's call, because you are not alone. In fact, if I could coin what you and I have talked about tonight, integral learning for all of our clients, there are so many people that struggle with just this fact. They get there and then they fall back, or they almost get there. They're like 7 or 10 pounds away and they start sabotaging and they can't figure out why. Right? So this is so integral. And being afraid of the unfamiliar is really okay. It doesn't mean you have to stop. In fact, the more you face your fear, the more it shrinks.
Did you recommend anything to listen to? Anything in particular?
Yeah, so what I tell people is go on YouTube, and I'll mention some names in just a second. But when you listen to these people, figure out what people make you feel good. Does that make sense? Because sometimes it can just be a cadence of their voice. And you don't even care what they're saying. So, you know, and for other people, if you have time and you can listen to the words, then it's more about the words, right? But I think anybody that you admire personally, so and or you admire professionally, is always top epitome, so to speak, top of the line for you individually. I think for some of the most motivational speeches out there are given by people like Oprah Winfrey has amazing things on YouTube. Tony Robbins has some amazing stuff out there to listen to. From a business perspective, it's Grant Cardone, but he's a little tough to swallow. He's not very feminine. Wayne Dyer is awesome to listen to. Eckhart Tolle, as I mentioned him on tonight's call, he's got some great content. For me, he puts me to sleep. I actually got in a fender bender because I was listening to him on my CD player. So for me, he has amazing content. This is going back about 10 years. But he has amazing, amazing content. But for me, his cadence makes me feel tired. So that's why I say, and for other people, they can listen. I have a friend that could listen to him for hours, and she feels awesome. So that's where, you know, you can kind of play with that. And sometimes I find that even if you just punch in motivational YouTube videos, there's these great kind of 7-minute, 8-minute long YouTube videos on motivation or inspiration that can be really beautiful too, that are just kind of done by independent people.
Okay.
So finding what plugs into you, you know, and makes you feel uplifted. And you'll know, because if you're passively listening to something while you're doing something else and you start to feel like you have, you know, really good energy and you're feeling good about yourself and you start humming or, you know, for no reason and tapping your feet to something else, you know you're on the right path with the right person listening to them passively. If you start to feel angry or sleepy, not the right person to listen passively to. Okay.
All right.
A warning, all right? So that can get you on the right path. Great. Excellent question. Thank you so much for being on the line and for bringing that up to the forefront, because I know it's hard to talk about some of that stuff, but it's so integral to the self-sabotage cycle to understand it and break through it, because I believe that all of us are worth that, and all of us are worth it to break through any limiting behaviors, self-sabotage being probably one of the primary ones. So thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you like this podcast, share it with a friend. Rate, review, and subscribe. You never know who you'll help become the next overcomer.